Come on a journey with me, Bree Lawrenson, where we talk about the stories behind the scenes in the music industry. Grab a drink or four. This is your front row ticket in to the distillery with me, Bree. We gave away a Yeti cooler in October, $1,000 in December, and because of the Patreon family, Bree Lawrenson Patreon family, we were able to donate $500 to the Children's Hospital here in Ottawa. Thank you to my Patreon family. Join the fun. Check it out. Bree Lawrenson on Patreon. We do giveaways all the time. And with 68 new members, we would love to keep growing. Check us out. Bree Lawrenson on Patreon. Oh, turn it up. Welcome to the Distillery Podcast. We are here with an amazing guest, special guest today. Mr. Bradley D. Scott is here in the house.
Hello. Hold on, button. I was going to be, there's a clap button.
Yeah, where's the clap button?
Oh, there you go.
There it is.
Oh,
can
yeah.
Ever so can you hear it? I can hear it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a hearing test.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Passed.
But did I?
Oh, so we are so excited. We're going to talk a little bit about the show that we got coming up, the big live recording of our podcast, The Distillery, and it's going to be at Oakfield Rugby Park in Perth, Ontario, and April 19th. You can still get tickets, I think.
Yeah, there's still some tickets available. Yeah, it is limited seating, but there's still definitely some tickets available.
Yeah, so...
like hotcakes.
Yeah, we're excited. I've never played at this venue. Have you played at the venue before, Brad?
No, I haven't. So
have you seen it?
I actually haven't seen it either.
Gorgeous.
So that's
it's beautiful.
I never knew that it was there until last year, last summer.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Because there was an event and I just went and played a few sets and it's beautiful. It's got a big beautiful patio. Like I hope that the weather's good, but you know, it's April.
It'll be April. Oh, yeah. April showers bring May flowers. So.
There you go.
A beautiful patio that wraps around, and then there's a bar on the inside. And they do, like, weddings and stuff. They do all kinds of... There's a singer-songwriter series that they do every Sunday.
Yeah, that's right, on Sundays. Yeah, yeah.
And so... So they're having us, and we're very excited to be a part of it.
It's going to be a great show. There. So Bradley D. Scott will be the opener.
Yeah.
You've had a pretty busy...
And then... We'll have to have him come on and like on the podcast too.
Yeah, we might be doing a recording that day as well. So
so you can play thing, and then we can chat and then
we're gonna have you live on there. We didn't tell you that.
Fantastic!
There we go. By the way.
So the way that it's set up, we'll probably go for like 45 minutes to an hour. So
okay,
kind of probably. It'll be Bree and I for a little bit, and we'll bring you on, kind of talk a little bit about you, and kind of get you started with
the
opener. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I'm really excited. You've been doing a lot of traveling. And,
yeah.
Oh, geez.
You know?
Yeah. I was adding it up, and I've already put on over 10,000 kilometers on the road this year.
This year?
Wow. This year.
It's been 2.5 months, man.
Oh, I know. Well,
it was 2.5 months.
The Edmonton to Ottawa drive that kind of.
How long does it take to get to Edmonton from Ottawa?
I think it took me 3 days.
And that's just within Canada, folks, for all our international
listeners. Like,
that's just within Canada, one province to the other.
Oh, yeah. 90% of it was Ontario.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thunder Bay, do you go?
Yep.
That's where you kind of go right through Thunder Bay, then all the way down over here. It's like,
Right. Well, how long did it take us to go to Manitoulin that one time? Which is beautiful when you get there.
Gorgeous. You know, you can see the northern lights up there in Manitoulin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had that show with the Country Music Fest there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we drove up and we stayed in North Bay and then we went like another 4 hours or to Manitoulin. Yeah. And then we left and drove all the way home the same night after.
Yeah.
There you go.
She had a gig the next day, so.
We are traveling gypsies. Yeah. That's what we...
So you were out east in Canada, you were out west, and now you're moving out east.
Yep, I'm out east now. Okay. Nice. Doing some gigs, and
I so would love to live out east.
Have you kind of been, like, have you in your travels, have you just kind of played at a few pubs kind of along the way? Do you do that
type of stuff? The last big run I did from Edmonton, I just drove out. Just had to get back to Ottawa, but yeah. Generally I try to book tours along those sorts of things
so you can play.
Did you exactly yourself, like, you contact the buyers yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
And pubs and all that. And
Good job.
You probably know a lot of them now from
I'm getting there, you
know, from the road and stuff.
How is it, have you played in Halifax?
I've not actually played in Halifax yet.
Remember when we went to Halifax for the Canadian?
They love music down there.
It is
a very musical place.
I would like to go to Newfoundland. I haven't been there
yet.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Go fishing for, like, for lobsters.
Well, and that's like East Coast music too, right? So, like, it's
Eyes a buy builds a boat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know a lot of those too?
So, as a fiddle player, you can understand why this seemed like a good idea to start playing gigs on the East Coast. Yeah. Geez, I haven't played Halifax yet. I've played in Pictou. I've played in Truro. Played in the Annapolis Valley, which was fun.
That's crazy. Where is that? That's near Halifax?
That is eastern Nova Scotia, the Annapolis Valley. It's very beautiful. There's a lot of vineyards and breweries.
Oh, awesome. That would be where I would live. That's awesome, yeah. Right there.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah.
The distillery. Well,
and
there you go.
So earlier you had mentioned that you've done, well, first of all, let's kind of tell a little bit. Could you tell us a little bit about kind of the instruments that you play? Because I know there's more than
sure.
You know, where to find you online and stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay. So in terms of instruments that I play, I kind of consider myself a string guy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So basically anything with strings, I've probably dabbled with it before. And
yeah.
I think it comes from being a session guy and also kind of being an engineer as well. When someone says, hey, we need this instrument on this song.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I better go find one.
Let me, give me a minute. Yeah.
So you can just kind of pick it up and, like,
I have before.
Ear and stuff, right? And kind of play it. Wow.
By ear, yeah.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, my music reading ability is not anywhere where it should be.
Me neither at all.
You know, you find a lot of really good musicians say that, right? They're just I can't read music. Well, I mean, they can read it, but they're just like, I would rather just listen to it and just kind of learn it.
Oh, by absolutely.
Ear, right? Yeah. I don't know what that's like at all, but I'm just, you know. To me, it sounds pretty fucking cool.
I remember, like, being young and then and just seeing other people sing and play music, and they would say it's by ear, and then I would be in the choir, and then I was always a soprano singer, so that's usually the melody.
Right.
And then there was some parts of the choir that were having trouble with pitch, so wherever the people were having trouble with, they would put me there and teach me the part. So I would sing soprano, alto. I guess that's how I got good at harmony.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Then how old were you when you first started playing?
Oh, geez.
And, like, what spoke to you about music first?
So, you know, I said I'm a string guy. So I actually started playing drums when I was 6.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
That was my first instrument.
I feel like Zane's going to do that.
I don't know.
Yeah, although there's pictures of me dragging around a guitar when I was, like,
this high. Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's
your parents musical?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
My father was a lead guitar player, and my mom's a great singer, and flat picker.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Oh,
that's so cool. That's awesome. So it's like, it's right in you.
Oh, absolutely.
You mean it's your birthright is what it is. Oh,
exactly.
So you started with drums and then just kind of, you know, but you obviously, with being from a musical family, you had a lot of instruments and whatnot around.
Absolutely.
I
picked up the drums when I was 6. I still enjoy playing drums, but don't play them very often. But
yeah.
In the studio,
yeah.
But in
a band atmosphere, it's like
I've done it before. It's not a pretty picture, but I've done it before.
Oh my goodness!
But the next year after that, I picked up a guitar, and that was just it for me. That was your thing. Yeah, from 7 years
old. How old are you now?
I'm 31.
Oh, that's awesome, man! Good for you.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
So I wonder how old Keith Urban was when he started. Probably the same.
Yeah.
Probably, like, really young. Like, I used to teach singing or beginner guitar, and I had a lot of young students that I thought were maybe too young.
Right.
But or, you know, maybe they just didn't have the intensity to music the way that or me do from a young age, right?
Oh, totally.
It's fun to see them, to get them into it though young.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh, yeah.
And it teaches you a lot too, right? Like discipline, I'm sure, right?
Oh, it's, you know, absolutely.
How many times?
So do you play pedal steel too?
I do.
Oh my God, that's a hard one.
I was going to say, play might be a bit of a loose term for it. I make pedal steel noises.
Okay, well, that's something right there.
I've done quite a few pedal steel sessions.
Oh, wow.
Really?
But I've only ever played pedal steel live once.
Oh, and yeah.
And that was good enough for me. I think that's...
Yeah.
Best left to the professionals.
So you're also a session player. So
absolutely.
You do that often still?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, right now I'm actually in the middle of doing some remote sessions as traveling.
Mm. Oh, wow.
I just have a little interface with me. And
isn't that incredible? Like, you can literally do your job anywhere.
Oh, it's crazy. That's
technology.
Technology's getting crazy.
Yeah, it's scary.
You know, when I came from Edmonton, I brought my entire studio back with me, so like all my rack units and everything.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And now, like, the same power is just in this little unit that I keep crazy. In my backpack.
Yeah. Wow.
That's nuts.
And I don't miss the analog stuff as much.
Yeah.
I thought I would, but
wow. You get used to it, right?
You
get used to it.
Yeah, you adapt.
Everything is so user friendly too. Like, even us with this whole setup, like,
right? Ooh, yeah.
It's when we first kind of started. I bought wireless mics because I didn't know you could sync the audio from like our pod track unit to the camera.
Right, yeah.
And this is just a portable recording device. So you could literally, we could be driving. It runs on batteries too. So
ooh,
you could you could go anywhere.
Oh, wow.
With it.
But the wireless mics, the audio was just so shitty. So we finally, after some YouTube, you know, we found a way to kind of sync everything together just to make, you know, the voice or the sound come through right through the mics right on the video.
So oh, wow, yeah.
It was awesome.
That's a neat little setup.
Yeah, I love this
Amazon.
Thing. I love this thing. Yeah, it was an Amazon buy.
You can check it out on my Amazon storefront.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Cheap plug. So you're still, so right now with your session work, like you just kind of, so you just record it through your whatever you have and send it via email?
Usually, yeah. Basically, what I do is generally when I travel, I have my live rig with me because I'm working.
Right.
So for fiddle sessions, I have my microphone and I just plug it into my little interface and try and find a room that doesn't sound horrendous.
Yeah.
You know, and
wow.
Yeah, record that's it like crazy. That. And the electrics, you just plug right in now. So you could be sitting in the room with a bunch of people chatting, and because it's direct.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You don't get any of the background noise.
Don't get any of the background noise.
Wow.
And how does it work? So they send you, be like, hey, Brad, could you play
they
a track on
you.
This song? And
yep, they usually just send me an MP3 or something with the tempos and the key and maybe a rough idea of what they actually want me to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just put together the tracks and
send
a link and away we go.
To know, because I started doing that with the studio in Nashville. Like,
yeah.
And I didn't know that you could literally just send the file and we did that on all the singles, I think. Well, I still record there, and we would send back and forth. And then you don't have to go there, except for I do have to go when I do my voice, I think.
But you can get your voice recorded.
You know what? And that's the thing. We got the audio figured out here.
Yeah.
And this little box is really cute. So if you edit your file through CapCut, you can put like echo and reverb on it and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just so much.
Oh, it's
right?
Yeah.
So, and what about the new album? I think, or you said you were going to start working on a new album.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. How's that going?
It's actually, it's kind of come to a bit of a standstill just with all the traveling I've been doing. But it's been a long time since I last released anything.
When was the last time you released
it? I think 2017.
Okay. And
so,
was it
it was a full-length record.
Album?
Oh, wow,
but,
really?
Oh, yeah. But I think this one, I'm going to take my time a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I've been compiling songs. And
yeah, for sure. And we'll have to do that duet.
Yes, absolutely. So I did pitch a duet that we could do.
There you go. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was still out west at the time.
Yeah, what's the song again that you said?
Oh,
I forget.
Till Each Tear Becomes a Rose.
Okay, I feel like I have to.
Yeah, Lori Morgan and Keith Whitley.
Yeah, okay. I'll have to definitely dig into that song.
Oh, it's such a sad song. Like, the story behind it's just brutal.
What's the story behind the song?
Oh, so I may be completely getting this wrong for the record, but this is to my understanding.
Story time.
Keith Whitley had recorded the demo because he was a demo singer. Mm-hmm. And he ended up passing away. I think he was in his early 30s.
Oh my gosh.
And later, I don't know whether they found the recording again or whether Lori Morgan heard the recording and she decided that she wanted to do a duet after he passed with the original demo recording they did.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, like if you listen to the recording, this could just be me being my little engineer self.
Yeah.
I think you can actually hear some graininess on his voice from where it was like a demo recording.
Really? Oh, that's neat.
But you would hear that. Musicians are like that.
Yeah,
it's like the little things in the vital.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. They re-recorded all the instruments and recorded her voice, and then it's actually a duet with him after he passed.
Wow, that's cool.
Oh yeah,
it's so crazy because when artists are like, you know, musicians after they pass away, they become really famous.
Oh, absolutely.
Janis Joplin, yeah. Right? She was never really, you know, put in the.
But she also played like Woodstock, didn't she? Or no?
I don't know, babe.
Maybe she died before Woodstock.
Ooh. No, she was.
But I remember, like, I've watched her documentary, and she played in front of, like, I just, she was on some big fucking stage.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
She did well while she was alive, when she died, it was like,
bigger, yeah.
Yep.
It's funny how that happens. Same with, like, Amy Winehouse, I find.
Yeah.
I loved Amy Winehouse.
There's a movie about her coming out.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's a movie or a documentary.
I do like the documentary on Netflix.
So what's the album called from 2017?
So that album is called New Frontier.
Oh,
New Frontier.
Okay. Yes.
You can find that on Spotify?
You can find it on Spotify and on all the streaming.
Yep, all the places of the world. Yes,
absolutely.
On the internet. Yeah. Do you have a YouTube channel?
I do.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I think it's just Bradley D. Scott.
Nice. Okay, on YouTube.
That's just it, yeah.
And he's got a Patreon as well.
Yeah, I do. That's a very
Bradley
good
D.
question.
Bradley D. Scott on Patreon.
There you go.
What did you ask him?
I said, what's your Patreon? Like, it's like that's a good question.
Yeah, I'm like, www.patreon.com/BreeLawrenson322.
Oh, there you go. There you go. We can edit this in, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's
of course. Fantastic. We're going to.
Yeah.
But just search for Bradley D. Scott. I don't know how I found you. I think when I started my Patreon, I found you.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, he has Patreon too. And, you know, we're just having I'm having so much fun with it. And I think, you know, it's a great way to connect with your like hardcore supporters. And
absolutely.
You do fun little things, giveaways, and you get to make it what it is. Like, you know, the memberships and stuff. So I forget, how many tiers do you have?
At one time I had three. I think I reduced it to one at this point.
Just to make it simple.
Yeah, it's just the manageability of being able to do everything.
Having a few different tiers is, you know, it can get complicated. That's why you need sometimes need a whole team. I think we were talking about it kind of briefly.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. You need a whole team. Because you can offer so much.
With so much. It's just there's so much to going on with it. Mm-hmm. But earlier when we were talking, you had mentioned that you've been on tour like Mexico. And
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Where have you been on tour exactly?
Oh, geez.
And who have you been on tour with?
So I was down in Isla Mujeres, Mexico last year.
Isla Mujeres.
I don't know if I pronounced that right.
That sounds very nice.
They told me I had a great time.
Told me I did.
But that was a really great experience getting to travel down there.
That's awesome.
And perform.
And play. Yeah. Like,
So who were you touring with?
So that was with Craig Moritz.
Okay.
That was a great experience. The rest of the time, a lot of it's just been freelance work.
Oh, really?
Like, just for me as a sideman.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's just the magical phone calls that you get that change your life.
And then they put you on a plane and off you go, just the same as the Shania show.
I was just going to say, when you get those phone calls where it's like, hey, I'm opening for Shania.
Yeah. Can you please help me with this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you still play with a lot of those guys?
Occasionally. It's just, it's hard moving around so much, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. some gigs people fly me in for, so that's always
like, and that's what we did. And how was your how was your flight back home, because it was rushed.
That was fantastic.
All I remember is seeing you like run, almost like running out.
Oh, I was running. Like, oh,
bye guys.
Yeah. Oh geez. So after the gig, we had a Calgary Stampede gig the next day.
Oh, cool. So I've never played
Calgary Stampede. Oh, you played the Stampede?
We did a private show, but I was told the year before they played the actual Stampede, and it was just insanity.
Really?
The amount of cowboy hats that I saw just getting there.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have one on?
Actually, at that time, I think I did.
Yeah, I was going to say, I will see you with that hat on.
Yeah, so exactly. That's awesome. Oh, yeah.
God, it must have been like a whirlwind, like in summer, like...
Oh yeah.
Yeah, your summers must be crazy.
Oh, right? Insane.
For festivals.
That's something that I particularly enjoyed about the Shania
game
was I would got a shuttle to the airport.
Yeah.
And I was trying to make it for the plane. So the security guy just saw this tall, sweaty guy all dressed in black running with road cases.
Yeah.
And he's going, like, excuse me, sir, you've been randomly selected.
Of course.
And of course, my Pelican case was just loaded with electronics. You know, when they're asking, do you have any electronics? It's like, all of it.
Yes, I've got all of this.
All of it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And so you had to, like, literally run for your plane.
Made it, though. That was fantastic.
That's amazing.
So how was that show? How was that?
It was really good. It was really good. Yeah. You know, it's...
And you said private party, like...
Yeah, it was in an office somewhere, actually. But I think the thing is, you know, Stampede, everyone thinks it's just mainly the Stampede itself.
Yeah, right.
But so many companies hold private parties at the same time that works into the whole Stampede experience.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like the CMA Fest, you know, like like a festival thing. It's for like a whole week, right?
All encompassing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever go to like country music, the Country Music Awards, any country music awards?
You know, I always intend to, and then something usually comes up.
Where you have to work instead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm usually gigging somewhere, but...
Exactly.
Yeah, of course.
It's hard to be asses, you know?
Exactly.
You know what? We love what we do, and we'll never work a day in our lives.
I've told you that so many times. I'm like, you know, you guys are at least, you're part of this, like, a group of people that really enjoy what they do.
Oh yeah.
Mm. And it's hard to complain about what you do, because you enjoy it so much.
Well, that's just it.
Yeah.
And like, it would be, you know, better than going to like a, like putting on a suit, going to
that's what I do every day.
I know. No, well, indeed. You're not a singer.
I know. I should be, obviously.
There you go.
No, you're my co-host for the Distillery podcast, Attic Tea at the Tiz.
You know why we started this just for stuff to remember as we go, but it's
absolutely
so much more. We're glad you're here. We're glad we're doing the show on April 19th. Yeah. We've had the Beauty Witch and the Six, this girl we actually met on TikTok.
Ooh, yes. Nice.
The TikTok.
Bree's gotten kind of connected with. We're gonna
have her back.
Get her back on the show.
She's
as well.
A psychic medium witch.
Yeah.
And, ooh, there you go.
And I'm right up that alley, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But so,
go ahead.
You can continue.
I was going to say, so what has been like one of your most memorable shows
you've
done in your career?
Yeah.
Like things I can actually publicly say.
Like, no, say whatever you want.
No. You know, I think one of the most memorable shows, well, obviously the one we did, the Shania gig, just running around backstage and seeing everything.
Yeah.
And
crazy.
You know,
they had like her dogs there.
Yeah, the chrome motorcycle.
Yeah.
It's like their robots. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, actually, you know what I think one of the most memorable things for me was? The light up floor on stage.
Oh, yeah.
When they were testing that. And we were like trying to play, and it's like,
these are things that you literally can't plan for unless you know, you're just happens,
you know. So when you guys were all on the show, I went up to grab Bree's mic and Bree's guitar off stage. I think you brought a guitar. I think I just went up to get her mic stand or something,
right?
But something dropped on one of those lights Oh. And I heard a bit of a crack.
And you're like, and I was
I need to get out. I was like, nope, I can't afford this. This is all fucking granite, fucking lights and shit. I was like, I can't afford this. This is not on me.
I feel like I almost went off of, like, I went off the wrong way. Like there's a certain way that you had to go step down.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, they had to build that stage for
her. Oh yeah. And I think, and it's the rumors are probably true from what we've heard. Like, she had to be the first night because she just had so much shit.
Well, that's just it.
Yeah. Like a fucking motorcycle.
Yeah.
For like one song.
Oh, yeah.
They took the motorcycle.
I'm surprised they didn't bring the horse.
Exactly.
Yeah. So besides Shania Twain, what's
I think actually it's kind of neat that a lot of them have been recent.
Yeah.
Like last summer, I was part of a festival in a town called Canal Flats, BC.
Okay.
And I got to do some musical director stuff there, and I got to meet Derek Rutan.
Cool.
And I got to play fiddle like most of his set. When You Come Around, that was the first tune. So it's like, it's funny, like when you're a kid and you listen to all this stuff, mm-hmm. and then it's like, how am I the fiddle player on this gig?
And now here we are, yeah. right?
How am I the band leader on this gig?
That's crazy. Because you manifested that shit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You work hard and you believe in yourself. You believe in your intuition and what your heart wants to do.
Yeah. Like very true. Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's a better way to live your life than like always trying to make more money. Or trying to just do what everyone else is doing, right?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Take the path less traveled, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had years where I didn't make as much money as I did the next one. But it always just kind of works out. Like, and I remember Derek Rutan had a really cool story about that. One year, his Christmas with the kids was a lot better than the year before because of his royalty checks that he got from like the songs that Blake Shelton took or whatever.
Oh, totally.
You know, like there's just no rhyme or reason, but it always just kind of works out if you follow your heart, right? What you want to do.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
And you're passionate about what you do too, right?
Obviously. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Just got to be persistent.
So what was this festival like?
It was a couple days.
Yeah.
And I think I played with four different bands.
Holy shit.
Overall, the whole weekend. Wow. But I was also doing musical director stuff for Derek as well as Paulette Carlson from Highway 101.
Oh, cool. Oh, okay.
So I ended up charting all the tunes and
that's awesome.
Sort of leading the lads into battle, so to speak.
I love that analogy.
But you know, it's,
come on, yeah, lads.
It was a really good time. Boys.
And then, so when you say musical director stuff, you're like, what is that exactly?
So figuring out who's doing what harmonies, arranging parts, figuring out who's taking what guitar part. Oh yeah, it was all encompassing. Holy shit. Like pretty much didn't sleep for like 3 weeks.
I was going to ask you how long did it take to put all this together.
Oh yeah, a long time. And I still felt like I was late. Like I still, by the end, like even after spending weeks, I still felt like I was behind.
Oh God.
But I mean, we pulled it off and it was great.
That's awesome. That's what I think, right?
That's also a matter of, like we were saying earlier, I think we all get so hard on ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, where it's like we see what we could be. And when we're not quite there, it's like, it's totally passable,
I remember my mom said that about me one time. She's like, God, you do this and you do this and you're always like, I'm failing. And
you're like,
look at your life. You know you're not.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Just because it's not like
a music award right there.
Exactly. Yeah, you set so many goals for yourself and you're like, I deserve this and I want that. And like, you know, it is good to just look and be grateful for what you do have, right?
Totally.
Because there's always room to grow.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And what's meant to be will be.
And you keep striving for, you know, bigger and badder shows, right?
Like, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
It's a good example is your Shania Twain show.
Exactly. Like, I never thought that I would on her stage. Like, what?
She is short. Hey, can we just, like, call
her? She's very tiny.
She is tiny.
Did you get to see her?
I wasn't there.
You were gone. That's right.
So
when she was done her set, we were on her trailers right next to ours, right?
Right.
So, you know, they blocked off the path from both areas, like nobody's allowed to walk. So we saw her walk down the stairs of the steps and walk right into her trailer, and I was just like,
She ran.
Fuck?
Oh, yeah.
She had three bodyguards.
Her legs took forever to get there.
Two people in front and like one or two people in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for her.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody was allowed to move in that area.
I think when I was trying to leave, I almost accidentally wound up in their camp. Because I got turned around backstage and I was running.
Yeah.
And this guy was like, "Can I help you?" And I was like, "I'm just trying to get out." And
I just want to leave.
No, what did he say? It was like, "Can I help you? Can I see a pass?" And I was like, "Hey, I'm just trying to leave.
I want
to
go sleep."
I think he said, "Fair enough." And I just ran the opposite way and somehow found the shuttle. And
somehow made it to the flight. That's fucking hilarious. I know, right? How do we do the things we do?
Oh. So you got anything big going on this summer?
Got a couple Nashville trips planned, so that'll be fantastic. Actually not yet. I was there for the first time last year because I had made a ton of plans over the last 10 years, mm-hmm. which feels really weird to say. Yeah. But, you know, over 10 years, I always started to book these trips to go to Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and something always came up. A tour always came up, something.
Work, right?
Yeah. And then I went last year, and it was such a life-changing experience for me as a player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, just,
sure. Did you do some gigs? Did you line up some stuff?
I really didn't do a whole lot. Just, you know, obviously it's a sensitive kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that gets sketchy real quick. But
performing.
Oh, yes. Well, I was going to say, at some point, though, in the near future.
I wouldn't be opposed.
I would not be opposed.
Did you do some recording down there then?
Not a whole lot. I was, someone I was working with was down there doing stuff. Oh, actually, oddly enough, so the building we were in was the building next to the Ryman.
Oh, right.
So the closest I was to Broadway was an office building.
Yeah, that's a different part.
Yeah, we were just looking down and, you know, you see everyone on Broadway and it's like, oh.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of close enough for today, I think. Yeah, watching everyone come unhinged at like 10 in the morning.
I know, that's
good. I love it, but...
So much light.
Oh, yeah. No, next time I'm going right down Broadway.
Yeah, we're going. When are we going? We're going.
We're going some point this summer. Yeah.
Oh, no, nice.
Cool if we went at the same time.
I was just gonna say, keep me in the loop.
Yeah, we will. You know
for sure.
Yeah.
We're really open because we're going to Atlantic City in June.
Yeah, we haven't planned yet, really.
But yeah, we'll probably go like July, August for a week. We're gonna go see.
Our friends down in Alabama as well
that we Patreon actually met members. Through TikTok as well. They're Patreon members.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go meet up with them in Alabama as
Trucker Dwayne.
That's right. Well, he's actually
got almost 500 stickers with my transport trailer trucks with my face on them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
Every time he drops off a truck, he puts a sticker on the bumper.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know I'd be able to say that.
I haven't been down there in years either.
No, you haven't.
I think I've been four times, but I think the last two times the last two times that I went, Bree was already down there. I think you drove down there by yourself.
Oh, wow.
And then I'd fly down on Friday night. We'd sleep there. Saturday morning, I'd start driving back, mm-hmm. and we'd be home by Sunday. Those are my last two trips. Wow. Like less than 48 hours down there.
Yeah. It happens.
Drive out. Oh, yeah.
Do what you gotta do. Oh,
yeah. It's a long drive.
That's just
right?
it.
Oh, I had a weird dream when I was taking a nap earlier today. That I was
tough life.
The baby was sleeping.
And
I was in Nashville at the last year Airbnb that I'd stayed at before, which actually I've got a funny story about. You know how like you have Uber Eats on your phone?
Yeah.
So you always have to make, you know, cuz you're like in different parts of the world, whatever, and you're like, "Okay, where am I now?" Well, I forgot to change. So I came home from a Nashville trip.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And I forgot to change the address on it. Like, I don't know how I did this. Like, I'm so technological. Anyway.
She really is.
I ordered two extra large pizzas and a cheesecake.
Yeah.
There was a group of people, wasn't it?
Wow. I mean, just a regular Friday night.
Yeah, that's Tuesday for me. I mean, I don't know.
And it never came, obviously. They sent me, all of a sudden I get this random picture of the order at the Airbnb that I used. $71 US. I hope somebody enjoyed it.
Can you just imagine the review they left for the Airbnb though? Yeah. Just get random food sent to you.
5 stars all around.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I make it 6 stars?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my god. Anyways, yeah.
But yeah, we're hopefully going to go down there this summer. Do you usually Airbnb it? Or?
Pretty much. Yeah, I know. I have a deal worked out with someone.
Yeah, you got nice. People.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
I got friends.
Well, I think we're going down for you to record. Are you recording?
Yeah. Well, that's what the plan is. I usually go once a year and do 4 songs.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then that keeps my momentum going for my singles and stuff. And
yeah, absolutely.
Sirius XM, channel 171. You can hear all my music. And my latest freeloaders, they're playing it so much.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
I love, love you, Sirius XM, top of the country. Woo! Yeah, so...
Was it one of the last times you were down there you played the Bluebird?
Yeah, it was like one of the first times when I started going.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is crazy because I didn't actually have a show booked. It was like an open mic night. Yeah. But on open mic night, there's a lineup out the door. Like, lot of people don't get in.
It's crazy. I didn't know that.
A crazy big deal.
They do like a random draw. Everyone gets a number, and then they do like a few that they just pull a number out of a hat. And if that's your number, then you can play. And if you don't get called, then you have to come back next week, but you'll get like put on the list.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm only here for a week.
Play, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, but it cycles through, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, my number got called. And I was like, shit, I'm going to play the Bluebird. And I've never even been here before. Yeah. And it's such a famous place for, you know, in Nashville. So I think I played... My Tennessee mom and dad, that's what I call them. They brought me that night, and they're like, we have to go here, and you have to put your name in, and it actually happened. I played one of my new songs to a friend, which is on my Breleave album, I believe. But yeah, it was like so cool.
Oh yeah.
Like to say that, like that's the only time I've played there.
Did you have it on video?
Yeah, I did. I think Doug took my camera.
We should try to get that video.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I don't even know where that phone is anymore. No, remember one time I came back and then my phone like went into recovery mode and everything was lost.
She had so many notes.
It might be on YouTube though. I might have put it on my YouTube. Check out the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I
want to start going live on YouTube for the podcast. Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that kind of goes.
We're working it all out.
Yeah. Everything takes so much fucking time. So, any other touring? Like, what have you hit? So you hit Mexico, Canada. Have you done the tours? Like, where I know a lot of musicians from around here. Anyway, that go like do the whole Europe thing.
I've never been to Europe. I would like to go to Europe. Yeah. Well, we were working on something right as COVID hit.
Oh, really? Eh.
So we had some stuff in the works, and then it just kind of never materialized after that.
Yeah.
So
we've.
Actually, I was going to say, one of my buddies from Alberta that I've done work with, we're kind of thinking about doing a duo thing.
A duo
project.
And
trying to market that more to a European audience.
Yeah. That's cool, because in Europe, you can make good money doing it. In the States, it's more like you're just kind of making cover charge or whatever, like a percentage.
But absolutely.
I hear that they pay.
Well, it's Europe, and you know, like places like
China. It's more like Canada.
You know, a lot of places in Asia, their level of respect for music, I think we mentioned this before, the level of respect for music is so much more than what you see a lot around here, right? We're seeing with TikTok
that
a lot of Bree's audience is Asian.
Yeah, so we're, totally.
It's crazy, and they say like things that in Korean or whatever. They put the Chinese lettering and everything, and you're just like, I translate. And you can actually just translate it on the app.
It's so crazy when you start actually looking at the demographics. Like even my music, it's like I think it was only 30% or something that was played in Canada.
And the
rest of it's all Asia.
That's amazing.
And Europe and stuff. It's crazy.
Wow. That's wicked.
Yeah.
That's the world. Like, the world is literally that big. You just never know, right?
Yep.
Just gotta put it out
there. Well, I think I mentioned it before, too, is we have a friend of our, Corey. He's with a metal band.
Yeah, Obey the Brave.
Obey the Brave. And he has done so many tours down there. And it played for fucking seas and seas and of people. Like, showed us pictures.
Yeah.
People South lined Africa up. They headlined.
Too.
Big, big, like, massive music events and stuff. And, like, so many people coming for their autographs and everything. He's like, and then you just kind of come back into Canada. And then
nobody knows who you are.
Well, exactly.
Nobody
knows
who the hell you are.
Yeah. I mean, kind of a nice thing in a way.
Yeah, exactly. You're coming back home.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you just get to be...
The producer you're working with, well, he's the same, right?
Yes, I work with Pete L'Esperance from Toronto. Nice.
Yeah,
and he's an amazing producer and player, and he's actually, I think he was the lead guitar player of the band Harum Scarum.
Indeed.
Yeah. And so they are huge, like, in different parts of the world, right?
They just, well, it was pre-COVID was the last time, but mm-hmm. I think that's the last time that he told us he was touring. But when we were there doing one of Bree's songs, he's like, yeah, he's like, we're going on tour, and, like, you know, it'll be a couple months, whatever, out on the road. And I was just like... And he's like, it's funny. He's like, we haven't released an album in years.
We're still just touring.
Still touring because people just love the music. And it's
oh, absolutely.
Crazy. Yeah.
The level of respect is insane.
Yeah, in different parts of the world, yeah.
I mean, half their streams might have been me. When their, when their last record came out, I was actually, during the pandemic, I did some construction work.
Did you? Yeah.
And I used to listen to Harum Scarum to get pumped to go
do
it.
Oh, that's awesome. So it's like, that's
yeah.
awesome.
That's amazing.
Have you met Pete before?
I actually have not met Pete.
Oh, no?
But
oh,
he's such a nice guy. Such a good player.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Like, oh, my God.
And he's such a nice guy, too. Like.
Oh, yeah.
And he, so and he's humble. And,
oh yeah, he's so humble.
What was it?
I'm just like, dude, Michelle you're fucking Wright. Amazing. Look at you.
Oh, Michelle Wright came up to me and him when we were at the CCMAs at a bar. I think it was in Calgary, and she gave me a hug and she's like, "Don't ever let him go. Like, he is the best person to work with." Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, "Oh my God, you're Michelle Wright."
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? So for, yeah, so we got a show coming up on April 19th. I'm excited to have you on, man. I'm excited to do the live podcast. Could you let us know, so Spotify, so Bradley D. Scott,
yep,
everything up, you know.
Absolutely.
To download everything there.
Yeah.
Do you have a timeline for the new album yet? Or?
You know what? One time I did.
Yeah.
Just follow him on Patreon and you'll know.
Absolutely.
Because Patreon are the priority, right? They're the hardcore fans. Yeah. And we keep them updated first, right?
Yeah, for sure.
100%. Indeed.
And for any Patreon members that have some specific questions for Brad, Bradley, what we can do is maybe we could do it during the podcast.
Yes, leave it live in the comments.
Leave it in some of the comments.
There we go.
We'll make sure it gets out to him. And you're heading out again tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm headed back to Nova Scotia tomorrow and playing a gig, and then I think I'm coming back to Ontario shortly after that.
Oh yeah, cool. Well, I guess
to do some more work. So it's
keep us posted when you're around. We'll have to get together and
absolutely
and do that duet.
Absolutely,
yeah. We could actually, what we wanted to talk to you about too is when you come down, if you have, like, if you're here a couple days before, maybe we can kind of do some content and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To be able to release on TikTok. Yeah. Maybe do some raw stuff for Patreons.
Playing
playing. And then, we'll be bringing some of your gear because I haven't figured out how to fucking.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, no problem. Oh, I got you covered.
The guy from Blues Fester, they're like, we need a stage plot. And I'm like, Brad?
Yeah. Oh, and your background is engineering?
Well, I guess. Audio engineering, it's kind of a funny thing. I guess it's engineering in a way, but it's not technical engineering.
No, but it's a certain type of engineering.
Like I've built studios for people before.
That's cool. So you know,
I'm usually the guy that you walk into the studio and you just see a pair of legs out from under the console. It's like, that's me.
Figuring it all out.
That's awesome. Do you do a lot of producing or anything? Like, have you tried dabbled in that?
I have.
Have you?
I think I've done about a dozen records for people over the last 10 years.
Awesome.
I've gotten away from it for the last couple years just because of the road stuff, but I'd love to get back into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always such a fun process.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You get to be creative and you're not playing the same things over and over again.
That's the cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
And you, do you, Did you do all the session? I don't know if I asked this earlier, but did you do all the session work for your album?
Most of it.
Yeah.
I had a couple buddies come in and do things with drums.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had Andy on drums.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I had Marty Russell play some bass.
That's nice. Awesome.
But,
that's awesome.
I was going to say, I did some of the drums, and I also played a lot of the bass, and that record was really an exercise in seeing how much I could do myself.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But, test yourself, kind
of. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and now that I've done that, now I'm actually going to collaborate on the next one, because it's funny. Because
you're like, it's a lot.
That's so much, man.
Oh, it's... You end up being way too close to it, you know, when you play everything.
Yeah.
There's no way to be objective anymore at that point. No,
it's like with the mastering process, you kind of have to just send it off to someone else's ears.
Yeah.
To do that part,
Oh yeah, it's like listening back to the track. It's like, can you hear that noise? Can you hear that noise?
Is that me?
Probably just you.
Oh no, it's just my ears ringing. Never mind. Disregard.
Yeah. Oh, that's normal.
You know what's crazy through Beard Music is that, like, all these session players, so Bree will send them a concept over, I guess.
A reference song.
A reference song.
Oh, how I want the song to kind of go. Like, it's not that song, but this is kind of what I want. I find that that's the easiest way to do it.
Absolutely.
Like, they get hurt in half hour. Oh, it's like, okay, here you go. Here's exactly what you want.
And like, it sounds shit, like a Carrie Underwood song.
Amazing.
And then I have to go record my vocals.
Yeah, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, I think it usually takes an hour. They give you an hour and a half to do your vocals, and then I think it goes up, like, every half hour, it's like $90
if you go over. Yeah.
I believe it.
So I'm like, okay, be consistent.
Yeah.
Just know exactly
what you want. Do they give you ideas? Like, oh, hey, like...
Yeah, the guy that I work with, he's actually Canadian.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and so they put me with him a lot, like, all the time. Nice. And we've worked together on almost all of them. And he's great at being like, maybe you should do this, or like suggesting a way. He does have his moments where, and I always want that, because I'm used to that. When I was younger, I had a producer, and we would throw ideas off of each other and work together like that.
Yeah,
so I'm used to that way.
Yeah.
I can be directed well. I don't. And I'm not too picky, because I know that I could be the same way you are, and actually, that one little half note there, I want to do that one 5 more times.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I can't afford that in Nashville.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. I think, perfectionism is quite a curse.
Yeah, and you just sort of have to.
Yeah, it really is.
You have to let it go.
It's your craft too, right?
Oh, like,
that's that's the whole thing about it.
You have to really separate yourself.
Yeah,
And I trust, whoever is behind the board and you're working with to bring it out of you, because that's a skill too, like, to be 100%. A producer. And
fucking right, it
is. Oh yeah,
Pete was amazing with that too. Like,
oh, that dude had his ears were like he could. Oof. He's just so good.
You follow him TikTok as well. He has a TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, does he have TikTok now? Yeah.
Nice.
Everyone's
follow him. Everyone's getting on the talk. What's your socials?
Lacking.
Horribly.
Okay. I have an Instagram. I have a Facebook page. I have the Patreon.
Nice.
Perfect.
I do have a TikTok.
Do you?
Not sure what's going on with it.
You're like, I don't remember the password.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was hacked long ago, and it's just...
Oh, really?
No. I was just going to go back to my TikTok, and it's just a bunch of advertisements.
Yeah.
Sunglasses. Okay. Do you need a deal on sunglasses?
Your FYP page is trying to figure you out.
Yeah, exactly.
Sending you everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, TikTok, you don't stop.
Yeah, well, TikTok's been instrumental in it was all during the pandemic.
We've mentioned
a million to one times, but it was instrumental kind of growing. I feel like it was just great reach among people. I don't think we would have been able to reach
the algorithm otherwise. Is nuts.
Yeah.
Like, people are afraid of the algorithm.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Because they don't know what it could do.
Yeah.
You know?
But April 19th, guys, we still got tickets on sale. Limited seating, an intimate show, an evening with Bree Lawrenson at Oakfield Rugby Park. The opener is sitting right beside me here. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Bradley D. Scott. Right.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate coming. I know it's late. I know you got to go.
Oh, you got to go get some rest.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for putting up with my schedule, you know?
You know, we don't really record till like the night before we're supposed to release, and then it's a mad scramble to kind of get.
And then I stay up all night doing the editing.
We got a couple days now, so this is actually really good for us.
Oh, there we go.
It's perfect. It all worked out.
So, I'm Addict T.
I'm Bree Lawrence.
I'm Bradley D. Scott.
And we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks, guys.